law enforcement is tracking down and arresting extremists who participated in last week's violence. And today, new articles of impeachment to remove President Trump from office, and that with a fight over them again breaking largely down across party lines. Now, with all that we've seen transpire over the last week, we want to ask you, how has the relationship between the GOP and the country, the Commonwealth, changed? Do you support the congressional delegation, the Massachusetts delegation, all of whom seek to remove the president from office before January 20th? How are you feeling about protesters from last Wednesday, those who stormed the Capitol? How are you feeling about the fact that people who may or may not have been involved in the violence itself are losing jobs, are being called out? What should happen next and why? And what will be the relationship between the GOP and our democracy in the future? Call us about all of it. 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We have two guests that were with us last week before all of this happened, and we brought them back together now. Retired federal judge Nancy Gertner, a senior lecturer at Harvard Law School and WBUR's legal analyst, and WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks. Judge Gertner, Anthony, welcome back to the show.
Good to be on.
Nice to be here.
So I'm actually going to start by asking you each the same question. Anthony, I'll start with you. Just reactions to what you just heard from Deb Becker's reporting there.
You mean in terms of the folks who participated there? Well, I mean,
yes.
You know, I think there's a legal process that has to play out. And clearly some people there were protesting. A lot of those people broke in and participated in what was essentially an illegal entry into the Capitol and intimidated people, and those people should be brought to justice. And it seems like that effort is at least beginning.
And Judge Gertner, you heard at the end there Deb Becker raising some of the questions that are coming up about the difference between being in Washington, even protesting that day, and being a member of the violence or storming the Capitol building or being inside the Capitol building. Just react to that. Are we being clear about the differences there sufficiently? And are you watching things unfold the way you think they should in terms of consequences?
Well, I think that we should be clear about it. Sedition is a very particular kind of charge, which is conspiring to overthrow the government of the U.S., to levy war against the federal government, or oppose the federal government's authority by force. Arguably, that applies to the people who were storming the Capitol, across the threshold of the Capitol, whose purpose, it appears at least, was to stop the electoral count. That, it seems to me, is action and moves directly to what we characterize as sedition. To extend it more broadly to people on the street, to people who went to Washington for a demonstration, has profound risks. Do you recall that just after Labor Day, Barr urged federal prosecutors to pursue seditious conspiracy cases against Black Lives Matter protesters? And we have a long and troubling history with the use of that. So I think that we do have to figure out who was doing what, and when they crossed the threshold into the Capitol, and when their intent, it appears, was to block the vote. You don't get more seditious than that. That's not just standing on the sidewalk railing about it. So I do think we have
Anthony,
to make these distinctions.
So, Anthony, because of the sedition piece in part, we now have our Massachusetts congressional delegation is part of a larger group of people who are pushing for impeachment. Articles being brought forward today, the potential of a vote, as I'm reading, as things are flying by as the day unfolds, potentially Wednesday. Who is leading the impeachment push, and what is the latest?
All right. Well, I mean, the latest is there's one article of impeachment that's been introduced by Congressman Cicilline of Rhode Island, along with Ted Lieu of California, and Congressman Rankin and Jerry Nadler as well. Now, it's been signed on to by lots of other folks, but they're the folks who are introducing this one article of impeachment. And it's a very tight article. It's four pages, and I can just go through quickly some of the highlights. Donald John Trump engaged in high crimes and misdemeanors by inciting violence against the government of the United States. It reads, it refers to January 6, 2021, and that's last Wednesday when that insurrection took place. And it says, in the months preceding the joint session, President Trump repeatedly issued false statements asserting that the presidential election results were the product of widespread fraud and should not be accepted by the American people. And then it goes on to talk about how he incited the crowd last Wednesday. Thus incited by President Trump, members of the crowd, article reads, unlawfully breached and vandalized the Capitol, injured and killed law enforcement personnel, menaced members of Congress, the vice president, and congressional personnel, and engaged in other violent, deadly, destructive, and seditious acts. And finally, Tiziana, it says, in all this, President Trump gravely endangered the security of the United States and its institutions of government, demonstrated that he will remain a threat to national security, democracy, and the Constitution if allowed to remain in office. And that pretty much sums it up. And so the Democrats have the votes to pass this. What they tried to do today was essentially to pass a measure that would have called on Vice President Mike Pence to invoke the 25th Amendment and remove the president from power. Republicans managed to block that today. That means Democrats will vote on it tomorrow. It will pass. And so if Pence doesn't comply, and so far he's indicated that he will not, the Democrats will vote on the article of impeachment on Wednesday. And again, it appears they have the votes to pass it.
You know, Anthony, we haven't done this many times in history, and I'm just so used to hearing the phrase articles of impeachment. I'm glad that you're correcting there. We got to learn to say article of impeachment here. Just briefly, and then I'm going to go to the phones because I think we've got some stuff for Judge Gertner to respond to. But briefly, is it correct that the entire Massachusetts congressional delegation supports taking steps to remove President Trump from office before January 20th?
Yeah, they're all on the record that President Trump should be impeached and or removed from office. So that's clear. And of course, I mean, we can talk about this. Once the House passes the article of impeachment, then it goes to the Senate. And that is and the House has to decide when it will transmit that article of impeachment to the Senate. And if it does it right away, it's not clear that the Senate could do it right away. And then there's a little bit of a sort of back and forth among the Democrats about whether or not this will serve Joe Biden, the incoming president's agenda, in terms of it distracting from his effort to get his people confirmed and pass his agenda. So that leads to a conversation. Well, maybe the Democrats want to wait and transmit the article of impeachment later to give Biden a chance to do that. But there's some back and forth and some disagreement in there as well. So a lot of uncertainty at this point. And it's got to be pointed out, although there's a lot of commitment among Democrats to get Trump out of office, Trump has shown, as we know, an ability to, thwart the will of certainly the House. I mean, this would be the second time he was impeached. It's not at all clear to me they could prevail this second time either to actually impeach him, largely because of Republican resistance.
Judge Gertner, I do want to go to the phones, but very briefly, in follow-up to what Anthony just said, just so I'm clear from a legal standpoint, can the House transmit the article of impeachment to the U.S. Senate and proceed with the process in the Senate when Donald Trump is no longer the president? So after some date after January 20th.
The Constitution doesn't say anything specifically about that, but most scholars believe that they can. At that point, the articles of the Constitution says there are two ways to deal with impeachment. One is to impeach and remove him from office by a two-thirds vote of the Senate, but the other would be to disqualify him from any future positions, which is only a majority of the Senate. There's no reason why the latter could not be done after Trump leaves. No reason why
okay.
It could not. There's no bar to it.
Okay. I have a question, Tiziana, if I could just throw, can I just throw this at for Judge Gertner? Because I think I'm really intrigued about this, and that is the idea of invoking, and I was just reading about this earlier today, invoking Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which, if I have it understood correctly, it says that anybody who was called for an insurrection against the federal government can't run for office.
Right.
Judge Gertner, is that a tactic? Yeah, is that a thing?
Is that a thing?
Yeah, no, they could. I mean, the question is how that would be done. In other words, when he announces him, the Congress couldn't proactively say, by the way, it would be essentially an advisory opinion saying, by the way, you're disqualified from now going forward. But were he to go and get papers to run again, that could be invoked. That surely could be invoked.
Let's go to the phones here, 800-423-8255. We've got Dave on the line in Concord. Dave, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm just curious if there's a reason why the media keeps calling the people who were in the Capitol last Wednesday as protesters. I mean, they were a mob of violent people intentionally doing harm and trying to do violence in the Capitol. I would describe them as rioters and not protesters, and I'm wondering why the media keeps calling them protesters.
So, Dave, I'm gonna grab one other call here, and then we'll go back to Judge Gertner and Anthony to get those questions answered. Lexi is on the line from Wilmington. Lexi, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I called in with a comment, but now it's turned into a question. So I'm fully on board and understand prosecuting people based on criminal activity, but I'm wondering if there's any precedent for employers actually firing people for being at this event. It's not an event, at the riot. And I'm just kind of concerned because I don't know what sort of slippery slope that would present in the future.
All right.
So just wondering what your thoughts are on that, Judge, and I'll take the comments off the phone and on the air.
Great. So two related questions, I think. Anthony, let's start with, you know, how people are talking about it. Dave's question.
Yeah, no, I think Dave raises a great question. I know we got guidance from editorial leadership at NPR about how to refer to these folks last Wednesday, because I think for the first sort of few hours of this event that shocked us all, we were all sort of saying protests, people who are engaged in rowdy activity. And NPR very quickly settled on the term a mob of Trump extremists. I mean, the caller's right. These weren't just mere protesters. I mean, there was a lot more going on. And as the days and hours went by, we learned that this was also planned for days and days on social media. This was an organized effort to, as Judge Gertner just said, to disrupt the counting of the electoral votes and disrupt democracy in action. It was a lot more than a protest. It was
although an act Anthony, of sedition. Judge Gertner did say earlier, we know that at least by some of them it was. We do not know that every person who went to Washington on Wednesday intended to disrupt
no,
an election
that's,
and commit
that's
acts
clear,
of violence.
But I think we're talking about those, you know, really unsettling and images of the violent breach of the Capitol that we saw.
Yeah.
That went way past protesting, and was violent action by a mob of extremists. So anyway, we've been pretty careful about that language, and I take to heart the caller's concern.
I second that. And Judge Gertner, what about Lexi's question about precedent that, you know, around firing of employees that one is aware were in D.C., for example, or firing of employees who stormed the U.S. Capitol in an insurrection?
Private employers, who don't wear, there's no contract of employment that protects you from, you know, when you can be fired, have pretty free rein to fire people who were inside the Capitol, who were threatening to go inside the Capitol, people who were outside. If you have a contract of employment that says there has to be just cause, that would be one thing. Or if you have, you know, you're in public employment and there are procedures for, you know, to protect employment, that would be one thing. But most of us walk around as what's called employees at will, which means you can be fired for good reason or bad reason or any reason at all. So there's really not a lot of protections for people under these circumstances if they don't have an employment contract or a union.
So, Anthony, let's come back here to the Commonwealth now, and let me ask you, what do you think, how does this play out for the Republican Party in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts over first the next several days as we approach inauguration and then in the aftermath?
Well, I think it plays out, you know, in ways that are similar to the ways it plays out across the country. And I think it's a real interesting time of reckoning for the Republican Party. I mean, I was struck today, for example, by a letter from 22 former Republican lawmakers who were advocating for impeaching President Trump. And those include a former Republican congressman from Massachusetts, Peter Torkelson, Peter Smith from Vermont, Claudine Schneider from Rhode Island, and former U.S. Senator Gordon Humphrey from New Hampshire. So I really think that the Republican Party, both in Massachusetts and across the country, is going through a kind of split about how to deal with this. And you see it happening in the Senate. The numbers are small, but you've got people like Pat Toomey and Lisa Murkowski and Ben Sasse who basically say they're open to the idea of impeachment, if not some other way to remove President Trump from office. But very few other Republicans so far in the Senate have signed up for that. But I think you're going to see this playing out across the country and indeed in Massachusetts about how, you know, where. I'll give you one more example. Jennifer Horne, the former chairman of the New Hampshire Republican Party and one of the co-founders of the Lincoln Project, which has been working very hard on public on advertising spots to get to defeat Donald Trump. She resigned. She has given up her membership in the Republican Party because she just says there is no credible way for the Republican Party to go forward and represent Democratic values if they don't distance themselves from what happened last week and President Trump in particular.
And Judge Gertner, following that back to Washington, there's also been a number of questions about the fate of some of the Republican senators, in particular Josh Hawley, Ted Cruz, others in the House who carried forward the challenge to certifying the election last Wednesday in the context of this insurrection. Anything we might likely see there, and what are the legal avenues?
Well, they clearly are entitled legally to say what they said. The consequences are political, more not legal with respect to them. But you have to, the building blocks of what happened in the Capitol was the fight about the electoral votes initially, of the notion that there was, this was a fraudulent election, and all the Republicans who participated in that obviously used exactly the same language. Then there were people who said, that's going on and we have to do something about it. And what was the doing something about it? And how far did they go to do something about it? With respect to the senators, what they were doing, though in my view preposterous, was within the scope of their job. What Trump was doing was a horse of a different color. What he was doing in terms of calling, you know, the Georgia investigator, the Georgia electoral officials, the U.S. attorney, that begins to cross over. We talk about sedition in terms of what he was saying that day, but I think that you have to broaden this and look at what he had been doing all along, which really was an attempt to illegally interfere with the government of the United States. That's not Hawley and Cruz, but I think it's President Trump.
All right. On that note, we'll have to end. That's Judge Nancy Gertner, retired federal judge, senior lecturer at Harvard Law School, and WBUR's legal analyst, as well as WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks. Hey, thanks to both of you. I appreciate you coming back this week and continuing to sort through this with us.
Thank you.
It's my pleasure.